You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanford, and as always, I'm your host. And today with me, I have Alyssa, and we are going to be talking all about parts of personal finance that we wish we would have known as we became young adults, and then, you know, maybe a little bit moving into life after that. Some adulting starter pack ideas of personal finance. So Alyssa, it's great to have you with me today.
Thank you so much, Timmy. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you do for a living and where you are at life. And then, you know, after that, we can get started right into talking about what we have to talk about today.
Definitely. So my name's Alyssa. I am an intern at Citizens Bank in the marketing department. I've been there almost a year, not quite a year now. And yeah, I kind of just help out. I get to learn a lot of things, work with a great team. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so she is at a stage in her life that's probably pretty close to the stuff that we're talking about here, you know, not just at the beginning of being an adult, but at that point where some of this stuff has happened a little more recently. So she has some good experience to talk to us of what she's learned over the past couple of years. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to talk about some of the stuff I've gone through myself in, you know, becoming an adult and moving into being an older adult as well. So yeah, let's just start from the very basics. When you are an adult, obviously, you're going to need a way to handle money. So with the very basics, checking and savings, obviously everyone's heard of a checking account or a savings account. Do you need one or both, or what do you think is kind of the practical way to go about those?
So I would suggest definitely starting with a checking account. That is going to be your basics. When you start to get your first job, or maybe your first job in the career that you're going towards, your employer is going to do direct deposit straight into that account. You're going to pay your bills. You're going to pay, you know, any other expenses that you might have through that checking account. So I would start with that.
And there's also the added benefit of a debit card, which almost everywhere takes nowadays and is a lot more convenient than writing checks, which, I mean, you still can write checks if you want to. It's just a little bit more work to track how many outstanding checks you have, and then, you know, make sure you have your checks on you at all time. Obviously can't write a check on Amazon or, you know, on any of the online marketplaces that you're using. So there's a lot of benefits of that, the debit card that comes with that is now as well. So yeah, we definitely step one for sure, make sure you have a checking account. But then do you really need a savings account then if you have a checking account? It sounds like the checking account kind of can do most everything for you.
And it can, for the most part. I think it's very beneficial to have a savings account. You know, once you start making some money, you know, maybe you're not living paycheck to paycheck, you've got some extra that it's really nice to put that away into a savings account. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beneficial for your future, all the goals that you have later on, you know, to kind of let it sit there and gain interest. It's very smart.
Yeah. And even though interest rates may not be the highest right now, there's also an added benefit, I think, to just separating your money a little bit, even as you budget as well. Like you said, if maybe you're making a little bit more money and you want to put the money that you don't want to actively spend somewhere else, it can help, you know, even in your brain, if you look at your checking account and you see all your money in that one account, maybe you're going to accidentally overspend or something like that. Whereas if you're intentionally putting some of that money somewhere else and you just kind of leave the money that you need to live your life, then you might be a little more reasonable with your spending and making sure you're not going outside your means, which I think is a good point too. And maybe you don't even consider, maybe it's not even a second, maybe it's not a savings account, maybe it's just another checking account that you kind of treat the same way. But there is definitely a benefit to having, I agree, multiple accounts to keep things separate rather than just, yeah, one pool of money where you kind of have to figure out what to do with all of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, so we have a checking and or a savings or multiple checking or whatever you want to, whatever you have. But, you know, say you still have an account that you opened as a kid, like you had one as from your job as a teenager. Are those accounts still good to use?
Yeah, definitely. That's very common. You know, a lot when you get a first job, maybe as a 16-year-old, you open a checking account, you know, and that could be, you know, a kid version that maybe it, you know, kind of ages out once you turn 18. Yeah. And that can automatically roll over into a normal checking account. We here at Citizens Bank have a Smart Start checking account. And that rolls into an Advantage checking account, which is a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, which is our basic checking for, you know, most adults. And I believe that's at 25 if that happens, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then, you know, savings accounts, I know, are a little bit of a different story. So as a kid's savings account, talk to me a little bit about those, because I know there's a couple different kinds. And so there may be some circumstances where that type of account isn't just going to naturally roll over like the checking account would.
Yeah, definitely. Savings accounts, especially for kids, there's a ton of different kinds. And sometimes those are started by parents or guardians, called custodial accounts. And those, the minor cannot put money in, make any deposits, or take any money out, and the account closes when they're 18. Mm-hmm. The advantages to that, though, is that it's able to sit there, gain interest before they're an adult. And, you know, it's kind of like a gift, right? When you maybe go to college or graduate high school, you know, you have all that money right away for, you know, whatever you need to use it for. Mm-hmm. Another kind would be just a normal savings account. So here at Citizens, we have a Cash Kids savings account. That automatically, it rolls into a normal savings account once you age out.
Yeah.
And then the last kind of main one I think a lot of people know is you can actually start a savings account at 13 at Citizens Bank. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go in with your parents and start one in your name, you can start putting money in there yourself.
And that's just the regular savings account that'll always be the same no matter how old you are. So I think that's a very important distinction that Alyssa made is about custodial accounts. So a lot of the accounts that parents start for their kids, it's in the name of their child and for the benefit of that child, but only that parent or custodian, I mean, it could be a grandparent or something too. The custodian is the only one who has the legal ability to take money out of that account or inquire on it. Cause even though it's in the name and for the benefit of that child has not been established as someone who can draw from that. It's a specific type of account, that custodial account. And it's also a little interesting because technically that money is all supposed to be for the benefit of the child. So, you know, any money being put in there by a parent, it shouldn't be theoretically like a second savings account for them and their kid's name. It really should all be for the benefit of the child. And those, I think, are becoming a little less popular nowadays. They definitely are still around. I think they were a lot bigger 15, 20 years ago, and people still use them. But yeah, it's usually just a way for, you know, parent or grandparent to tuck some money away, like you said, to eventually give to the kid, maybe when they're old enough, or use to buy them things or whatever. So yeah, that is a very important distinction. Okay, so our starter pack for being an adult financially, it started at checking and savings. You know, we talked about the different kinds that you might have and how that might transition as you get older. What else do you need outside of that? Or what things, you know, maybe that's your essentials is the checking and savings, but what else is, you know, important to at least consider?
So once you have checking and savings down, I think the next step maybe would be to get a credit card. Mm-hmm. Looking into building your credit, that is going to benefit you so much as, you know, you grow as an adult and you start careers. You know, we all need, you know, to build credit. It's very, very good for you. So you can start by researching credit card companies, looking at all the benefits that they have, advantages that you are looking for in your credit cards, and, you know, you can go ahead and get one and start one. You can also have a prepaid credit card if you're not quite ready for so much responsibility and so much commitment and stuff. So it does help, and there are options if you're not quite ready. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, always remember it's so important to pay off your credit card bills, you know, on time, in full if you can. So beneficial to your credit score.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so a couple things about what Alyssa was just talking about. The later one, like the prepaid one, or also called a secured credit card, is most commonly the first credit card that people will be some sort of secured card. And the reason is credit's a little tricky in you have to have an established credit for people to be willing to give you credit. There are some bigger credit card companies that will give people credit cards without any credit history, but it's difficult. And you might find if you're a young adult just turning 18, you don't have any established credit and you're trying to get a credit card, you might get denied by a lot of companies for a normal, you know, just standard credit card. So that secured option is a really great option. And what that is when you sign up for the card, you put in a deposit of however much you are agreeing to with the company, maybe $500. So you give them $500, and that would be your credit limit on that card is $500. And the reason this type of card exists is obviously that's way less risk for the credit card company to give you a credit card if you've basically given them the money to back it. So it allows you to start using a credit card, and that will get reported to credit bureaus, which is good. It bills your credit. And then when you want to close that out and transfer to a normal credit card that has a limit that isn't backed by money you've given to the credit card company, they'll send you that deposit back. Or, you know, if unfortunately you max it out and you can't pay it off, obviously that's going to hurt your credit a lot, but the credit card company has already collected that money from you. So they thankfully shouldn't send you to collections, which is a whole other animal that will, you know, hurt your credit and be not fun to deal with for sure. But that's why they're more willing to do those secured type cards with people who don't have established credit. Also, why that's typically the first place you'll start. You could also look on at being like a joint signer with a parent or something like that to build some credit in some sort of transaction, maybe a car loan or another credit card. But the secure credit card is really a great start. But then, yeah, moving into a real credit card, I guess, more normal one when you're able to is a good option. So as far as credit cards go, do you think, let's talk a little bit about why building that credit is important. Like you said, it is really important and good for your financial health to start building that credit. But why do we want to do that? I know on previous episodes, we've talked a lot about credit and stuff like that, but we'll just talk about it a little bit here because it really is important to when you're a young adult to start building that credit early. And why do you want to do that?
So like you said, financial health. It is so important for your financial health to start out as strong as you can. And then for your future as well. You know, you're going to have a lot of loans coming up as you get older and as you know, you kind of have some more responsibilities. So mortgage loans, car loans, things that, you know, you want to be able to, you know, get a head start on. And once you've built that credit, you can then approach somebody, maybe a stranger who doesn't know you, and say, hey, I need a car loan. They're able to look at that reflection of you through your credit score. Mm-hmm. And that's so important.
Yeah. I mean, and even things you don't think about, like when you're renting an apartment, a lot of times they check your credit history. When you're buying a phone, say you went to Verizon and you wanted to buy a phone on a payment plan. If you have bad credit history, you may not qualify, and your only option may be buying that phone outright for full price rather than doing a payment plan. So there's a lot of stuff that your credit ends up affecting. That, you know, the quicker you can get a leg up on it, the all around your financial health is going to be a lot more comfortable and easier to navigate. So let's say now, you know, we're young adults, we have checking, savings, credit card. What else should we maybe consider outside of those things for, our everyday financial health?
So I think as you're transitioning from kind of being a kid with you're dependent on your parents into adulthood, you start thinking about things like insurance. You know, that's a big one that sometimes kind of sneaks up on you because, you know, with health insurance, maybe you may not age out of your parents' health insurance for a couple years after turning 18. And, you know, suddenly you're out of college, you're getting your job, and you need health insurance. So that's something to think about. Car insurance, if you have or you drive a car, you need car insurance. Under, you know, the law, state of Wisconsin, you have to have car insurance, which is important to think about. Another one, maybe renter's insurance. You know, that's something always to consider when you're renting. Some places that you rent from, it's required. Other places, you know, take a look at where you're living. Look at, you know, what other people maybe are doing, people you're rooming with. See if it's worth it to have that renter's insurance. It can definitely be as low as $10 a month, $15 a month. And, you know, for an entire 12 months to cover all of your belongings, definitely beneficial.
Yeah, renter's insurance is usually very affordable too. But yeah, like you said, the something that catches a lot of people is health insurance. You know, some parents are pretty upfront, like, oh, you're 18, you're getting your own insurance, you know, when you get a job. But currently under federal law, you can stay on your parents' health insurance until you're 26. But that's a big transition. So making sure that you are thinking about that and your budget is then going to change accordingly because, I mean, insurance is not cheap. You might be seeing a pretty substantial drop in your biweekly paycheck when you start having to go on your own insurance. And like you said, too, vehicle insurance, it is required. But there's other things you can get on top of that, like umbrella policies, which we've talked about on previous episodes. There's a lot of different type of fancy insurances you can get. Obviously, the more assets you have and the more you have to lose, the more you might want to start considering insurances. So maybe not right away. You're not thinking about too many. But yeah, like you said, renters is definitely a big one. And then vehicle you'll need, and then health insurance you might be getting to pretty quickly down the road too. So yeah, we have our checking and savings, debit, credit card, insurance we've thought about. We're good, right? Is there anything else that you think you might want to consider? It's already sounds like quite a few things.
It is, definitely. Something, though, that I would personally recommend is to have a budget. Mm-hmm. And this is going to kind of encompass everything that we talked about. I mean, you have to keep track of your credit card and, all of your savings account, checking account, your loans, maybe your insurance payments. It is so smart to have a budget. Lay everything out, that way you don't stress as much. You can live within your means. You can see how much you have extra. Maybe you want to change that, look at it month by month and be like, oh, I can actually put more into my savings than I thought. Or maybe I'm ready to start investing now. So having a budget is just simple, easiest way. Once you make one, all it takes is to upkeep it is just to glance at it every mm-hmm. now and again.
Yeah. And I know I've obviously mentioned budget several times as we talked through it, because it's obviously very ingrained in everything you're doing financially, especially as you're establishing yourself as an adult and figuring out, what you can do and what you can afford and what's worth pursuing. Because some of the things that you look at doing only start to make sense when you can afford it. Like, obviously, you're not going to look to buy a house until you've been able to save up some, which requires you to be budgeting for saving. And so it all goes hand in hand. And I think a budget is really super important, even if you're kind of loose about it too. Maybe when you're younger too, you don't have to be quite as strict because you don't have as many bills that are immediately necessary for you to pay to live your life. But obviously, as you get older, more things start falling to you to take care of, taking payments of, like I said, the health insurance as you get older and all these different things that without a budget you may not be ready for, and you may not have adjusted your spending habits accordingly. Is there any advice that your parents or other people, financially responsible gave you that you think is good or you maybe wish you had followed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents, I think, are very financially responsible. They have kind of shown how they budget and how they, do everything as I was growing up, which I think was, very beneficial to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see that. And of course, I've made mistakes, mm-hmm. just even, I didn't do renter's insurance the first time I had an apartment. Nothing happened, but probably wouldn't do that again,
Mm-hmm.
And little things like budgeting out, once you're on your own, like you said, we have all these expenses, kind of a little bit sudden, and it can be a hard adjustment to prioritize things.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's in prioritizing going out to get coffee with your friends and blowing through your grocery budget. Those are things that I kind of wish I had paid a little bit more attention when my parents said budgeting is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think something that has been instilled in me from a really young age is investing early, specifically into your retirement. The soonest you can throw money into a retirement account, as boring as that sounds when you're 19 years old, that money is going to grow exponentially. The way that compounding interest works and how the stock market and different investments that you are investing in, the way that those typically have historically acted is that extra time that you start putting money in early, that money is worth so much more by the time you need it when you're retired. So, I mean, even if you can only throw $50 a month or $100 every couple months or something into an IRA, getting some money put away is huge, even if it's just a small amount, or even if you just do some every once in a while, just to get a head start on that. It's a good habit builder too. And, like I said, that money just grows so much, just by starting at 20 instead of 25, or, starting investing at 25 instead of 30, making sure that you're giving yourself a leg up so that when you are retired, you're not like, oh, I'm 55 and I want to retire in 10 or less years and I don't have anything in my retirement accounts. That's, I've talked to quite a few people who have been at that stage, and it's hard to try to catch up because obviously there's less time to be saving, and that money's not going to grow as much too, because you're not going to want to be as risky with it because you don't want to lose it. So lots to consider there. But yeah, just basically, if you are able to start investing into retirement early, do it if you can. I guess kind of what I was just talking about too, any other things that you've heard from your friends or family at different stages of life who have maybe taught you some different things, similar to like what I was just saying about, you know, you run into people who didn't start investing till really late and they wish they would have known to do that sooner. Do you have any other, you know, I guess anecdotes like that you would maybe want to share?
I mean, yeah, it's like you said, it's never too early to start, you know, investing and start thinking about your future. And being a young adult and, you know, being around a lot of young adults, everybody's doing their own thing. Everyone's in a different stage of life, even if they're in their early to mid 20s. You know, some maybe are starting families and are looking at, you know, actually putting money towards their retirement and investments and things like that. Whereas maybe you're still in college, maybe you're still in school, not quite ready for it yet. And so even though we're all in kind of like this umbrella of young adult, there's still things that you can do. And it's really tailored to you. You know, you need to figure out what your goals are. You know, you're not necessarily doing anything wrong if you hold off for a couple years, you know, but it's never too early to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important thing that you were touching on too, is that it's good to take advice from other people too, but you don't need to necessarily compare yourself to where other people are at too. It's, you know, very easy to beat yourself up or, you know, get on your high horse about how you feel your life is going compared to other people's or financially. And, you know, that's, something that you don't necessarily need to do when you're trying to help each other and give each other advice and stuff like that. So, I don't know. That's, I guess, more of a friendship advice than a financial advice.
Yes.
But, yeah, with that, we'll move into some do's and don'ts here. And I would say, as you move into adulthood, do definitely start talking to personal bankers about checking and savings and figure out what's right for you and what's going to work. I definitely think, and it sounds like Alyssa agrees, checking is definitely the right place to start, and then deciding, you know, from there, maybe what else you might need. And I would say, don't wait to start figuring out if you want a checking or savings until those unexpected events happen. Once you can start saving at least some money, I would recommend doing that right away, because then even as you just have some small things in your life, like if you own a car, if that car breaks down, you're going to need money to fix it, things like that. And I would say, do look into a credit card when you are comfortable and ready for it. And also do use caution with it, because you don't want to spend outside your means. Maybe just specifically use it for gas or something small that you know you'll be able to pay off. And don't jeopardize your credit with late payments or forgetting to make your payments. Even if you just make small payments, it's important to pay that all on time. I would definitely also say, do consider things like renter's insurance, other things that'll help your overall financial health. Also, don't forget that you'll eventually need health insurance. Yes. It kind of goes hand in hand. Like I said, it sneaks up on you, and it sounds like maybe that's several years down the road. Yeah, don't forget that. And I would also say, do consider investing and putting money aside into retirement as soon as you are able to. And don't hesitate to talk to other people in your life about their experiences, and, you know, whether they're older people, younger people, to try to learn from, because that's how we learn the best, is hearing from other people other people's experiences and their financial journey, especially if they're comfortable enough to share with you their experiences. But yeah, with that, just a couple of closing thoughts. It's never too early to put your personal finances in order. And, you know, if you're an adult or a parent or grandparent watching this, make sure that the young adults in your life know that you are there if they have any questions. I mean, you don't necessarily always need to be doling out information if they don't want it, but it's important for people to know that those resources are there for them, so that if they want the help, that they know that you're there to give that advice at any time that they may need it. And because that may come at different times for people. Sometimes people want advice early on, it may be later. It all depends. But yeah, Alyssa, do you have any closing thoughts or anything?
Oh, I think that was summed up perfectly.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, with that, we'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future episodes, or if you have any other questions. And you can send all those suggestions right to us at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And with that, we thank you so much for watching, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.